ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण वी रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम इन द एइथ कैंटो इन द फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 11 करेक्ट यं पश्यति न पश्यन्तं चक्षुर्यस्य न ऋष्यति तं भूतनिलयं देवं सुपर्णमुपधावत यं हि हु पश्यति The living entity sees. Na, not. Pashyantam, although always seeing. Chakshu, I. Yasya, whose. Na, never. Rishyati, diminishes. Tam, him. Bhuta nilayam. The original source of all living entities. Devam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suparnam, who accompanies the living entity as a friend. Upadhavata, everyone should worship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees Him. However, one should not think that because no one sees Him, He does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Purport. Offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Alakshyam sarvabhutanam antar bahir avastitam. Krishna, you reside both inside and outside of everything, yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through jnana chakshusha. Eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called a spiritual master. Thus, we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following shloka. Om Agyanata Brandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. From the Gautamiya Tantra. The Guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge. He can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, because the Lord actually is everywhere. Anantarastha paramano jayantarastham. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and He resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God. But a little deliberation can help us to see God everywhere. I'll just stop a second. Hopefully we'll have time to get to another deliberation. But this is one of the places where Prabhupada talks, uses this term, that by a little deliberation, there's another place we're going to hopefully get to in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.25, or 35. 2.35, something. Anyway. Where Prabhupada gives us a path of deliberation. So here's another path. Now we're being asked to deliberate. Prabhupada is going to take us on a little thought trip. Okay? A little mind exercise. Let's all pay very close attention. Let's pay really close attention now. And try to follow this guided deliberation that is going to lead us somewhere. Sometimes we are confronted with a problem in our service, and somebody who knows how to do it is going to teach us. So he starts saying, well, first you do this, then you do that, then you do this, then you do that. It goes like this. So Prabhupada is going to give us like that. Let's pay attention closely. This requires training. With a little deliberation, even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. Well, I'm a little, above that by the grace of Prabhupada, but I am hoping that my degraded consciousness can also perceive Krishna. If we take in... Okay, here it starts. All right? Let's pay attention. If we take into account whose property the vast ocean is, the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, who has made this universe, and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. So this is the first step in our deliberation. We're considering so much exists. Who is the proprietor? There must be an owner, a source of all of this. There must be. When we claim proprietorship, we often do, over a certain piece of land, whether individually or for our families or nations, we should also consider how we became the proprietors. The land was there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there is a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the first deliberation that we'll discuss today. To deliberate, to consider that all of this that exists must have an owner. Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarva loka maheshram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantamichchati. You see the connection. This verse is talking about suridam sarva bhutanam, that friend, that supreme friend of all. We'll be hearing about how that friend resides in us, with us. And that friend owns everything. It all belongs to our friend. Just imagine if your friend, if you were close friends with, some rich person who owns so many properties, and you were close friends, you would never worry. Your friend will always take care of you. That cannot sometimes not be the best thing also. We may get lazy thinking our friend will take care. I've seen that in my family. Anyway, we'll get into that. But it is a first deliberation here. Now we get to the next. The Supreme Godhead is always awake. In the conditioned stage, we forget things because we change our bodies. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not change His body, He remembers past, present, and future. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vishvashate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam. I spoke this science of God, Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god at least 40 million years ago. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna how he could remember incidents that had taken place so long ago, the Lord answered that Arjuna was also present at that time. Because Arjuna is Krishna's friend, wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes. But the difference is that Krishna remembers everything. Whereas the living entity, like Arjuna, being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, forgets. Therefore it is said, the Lord's vigilance is never diminished. We are minute particles. Minute. And we're constantly changing. Even in this lifetime, we've changed our bodies, and how much we've forgotten already. But to speak of previous bodies, we forget so easily. But Krishna does not forget. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always present within the hearts of all living entities. And from Him come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. We're going to come back to this, but we'll finish the purport. This is also indicated in this verse by the word Suparnam, which means friend. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad, it is therefore said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksham Parishasvajate. Two birds are sitting on the same tree as friends. One bird is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply observing. This observing bird is always present as a friend to the eating bird and giving him remembrance of things he wanted to do. We're going to come back to that. Thus, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see Him, or at least perceive His presence everywhere. The words Chakshur Yasya Narishyati mean that although we cannot see Him, this does not mean that He cannot see us. Sometimes we think, well, if I can't see them, they can't see me, right? You look around and you're off in the corner there, and maybe you want to have that second Golubjaman, and you're thinking, oh, but you know, my brahmachari leader will be very upset with me for eating too many Golubjamans. And you look around and you see, oh, but he's not around. Okay, let me enjoy. He can't see me. I can't see him, therefore he can't see me. Not so with Krishna. Nor does he die when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. Krishna never dies. Everything else does in this material part of his creation. The example is given in this connection that the sunshine is present when the sun is present. But when the sun is not present, or when we cannot see the sun, this does not mean that the sun is lost. We get that every day, the evidence. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our present darkness, our lack of knowledge, He is always present, seeing our activities. As the Paramatma, He is the witness and advisor, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see Him. Om Agyanata Mrindasya Agyananjana Shakaya Chakshami Tantrinya Smishi Kuru Yama Mukam Kuroji Bhakta. Hare Krishna. This verse focuses on three things. The main emphasis is, how do we see God? How do we see God? We meet people all the time who simply ask, if there is God, how can I see Him? Where is He? How do I see God? People are anxious, and they even go so far as to reject the existence of God simply because I don't see God. What is it in Missouri? There's a saying, you know, show me. Show me. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Show me. So people are like this. They don't believe. They say, well, Where is this God?
Hiranyakashipu was the perfect example. He refused to believe there was anyone greater than him because he saw in him all his own power. He had conquered the universe.
How could there be a... He'd shown it. He demonstrated. He proved
that he was the supreme. No one is greater than him. And if there was, where is he? Where is this supreme being? Is he here? Is he there? Prahlad, yes, he is. He is here. He's there. He's there. Be careful. Yes, he is.
So Prabhupada is urging us to open our eyes. Open our eyes with the knowledge and see. Yes. Yes, Krishna, God is here. You can see. We can see. He is here. He is present. We can all see God everywhere. Everywhere we can see God. When we look through the eyes of knowledge. So how do we obtain this knowledge? How do we obtain this? How do we learn? We hear in the Bhagavatam, in this particular purport, Prabhupada gives a number of examples, because simply hearing God is everywhere, perhaps we don't accept it. We want to understand. We want to realize it by, first of all, understanding it. Prabhupada gave this first deliberation when I was a young devotee in this 1970. We didn't have the Bhagavatam. Well, we had the first canto, but the second canto was being published in these little one volume. Each chapter was published as a single booklet. I don't know if any of you have seen. Have you remember? I don't know. Yeah. That was in 1970. You've seen those, yeah? So I remember being in, I think it was either Toronto or Buffalo. I went from Toronto, where I first joined an ashram, and then went to Buffalo. Buffalo. You were in Buffalo? Yeah. Hare Krishna. And Rupanuga was our temple president. And in this canto, this chapter, there was something that we started reading. We were just blown away. And this is in the purport of 2235. Let's see if I can get to the... Okay. And we get to the actual verse here. Oops. These devices don't work always the way you want them to. All right, okay. Anyway, let me get to it here. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2. I'll just read it.
Here, 2235.
Oh, you got it. Okay. So... the verse says, Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshita Svatmanahari Drishyair Bhujadi Bir Drashta Lakshanair Anurnapakai. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul, and this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. And the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada again takes us on a journey. And I ask you to again pay close attention. We want to see Krishna. We want to perceive God. Right? Do we all want to see Krishna? We all want to see Him. We come here and we stand before Him in His deity form and we look and we say, Krishna, I know You are present. I know You are here, You're present in this form, but my eyes are so conditioned. Conditioned by my desire to see myself as the center of everything. That whatever I see in material terms. And I'm looking and I'm seeing and yet you see, you appear to be just standing like a stone. Let me see you. Let me see you dance. Let me see you move. Let me hear you talk to me. We pray like that. We want to see Krishna directly. But to begin, we have to see Krishna indirectly. We cannot reach the stage of seeing Krishna face to face until we have come to that stage of seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything. Seeing Him in our hearts. Seeing Him in our lives, in everything that we do. We imagine that we are the doers of everything. What is it? Kartaham iti mani, but how does the verse go? Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. In the influence of the ahankara, we think we're doing everything. We heard today in this verse that Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhava," but "Aham sarvasya prabhava matak." So, "Pravart today matak sarvam pravart today." And the sarvasya chaham riti sannavishto etak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. Matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in the hearts of everyone. And it's from me that you get everything. We think we're doing so many things. But we actually have no independent power. And this is what Prabhupada is going to take us through. To see that in our lives, in everything we do, Krishna is there. So, let's try to follow. Because we have little time, I'm not going to read the whole purport. But I'm going to hit on the thought journey that Srila Prabhupada takes us in this verse. The verse again says that
Okay, let's see. Now I lost it. All right, anyway.
What do you want to do?
Here.
It's right here.
Oh, okay. It says that
It says, this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. I do have the purport here. I've saved that. That's what I... Okay. So, Prabhupada begins, he says, the general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto him or render transcendental loving service unto him? So here is the next problem. The first problem is we don't even acknowledge the existence of God. But then, even if we do, how do we serve Krishna? How can we serve him when we don't see him? How can we surrender to someone that we don't see, we don't know, we don't perceive? In many, many religious traditions, there is this idea that God is so great, so beyond our ability to perceive, that it's blasphemy to make a deity or to even consider that you can see God. No, how can you, how can you dare to think that you can see God? All you can do is follow His law as it is revealed. But Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. He's asking us to personally surrender to Him. And so Prabhupada responds, well, the common man may argue, well, how can I surrender to someone I can't see? So then he describes how to see.
Okay, now come back here.
With glasses, of course. We all need various kinds of glasses. So here is the thought exercise. It begins with this. First of all, Prabhupada gives us the ultimate destination, because he says, when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord, so we're first getting ourselves convinced, becoming truly convinced, by a practical service attitude. It's not just convinced of the presence of Krishna, but convinced that we are His servants, and we then engage in that. There is a revelation. There is a revelation by the Lord's mercy, and such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. He can perceive, and this is where this comes in. This is the astonishing message that we're going to try to absorb today. He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. When we read this, and I was, you know, like 1 year devotee or something like that, I was like, whoa! Intelligence is the form direction of the Supersoul. We were really getting into this, trying to understand it. Because it's a little mind-blowing, as they say. So let's see if we can blow our minds a bit more by following this thought process. Because then Prabhupada says, the presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize. Okay. Even for the common man. So here we are. The procedure is as follows. Okay, so here we've got a procedure. Here we've got step by step. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think. There's 6 steps in this procedure. I was beginning to try to, you know, note down. In fact, I want to do a little, you know, the 6 steps to perceiving. Nowadays, when people write articles, it's very common that the 5 steps, the 6 steps, the 7 steps, you know, the 7 habits, you know. We like to number somehow, number things, make lists. Helps us to remember. So the first step. Okay, so the first step, I think most of us already have done this many, many times. We perceive that we're not our bodies. Okay, that's the first step. That's actually not that difficult. If you spend Prabhupada used to do, at least once or twice, he did, even with children, he did what's called the pointing exercise, right? How many here have heard, done the pointing game? Raise your hand if you've done the pointing game. Many of you have not done the pointing game. You've not heard the pointing game, Prabhupada's pointing game? It's really simple. He said, okay, point to your head, point to your elbow, everyone points, point to your arm, your chest, you can go on, you can point to so many parts of the body, depends on how long you want to go. And then the last one is, point to yourself. And most people say, well, and then he proceeds, you don't say I hand, you don't say my, you say my hand. So we have this. Prabhupada says here that he may not feel it very abruptly. Prabhupada says, he may not feel it very abruptly. It's not like switch on the light, oh, hey, I'm not my body. No. But little use of intelligence, he says. He can feel that he is not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, so on, cannot be identified with the self. So the first step, number one, there's a difference between I, the seer, and the seen. Okay, so this is step number one. I am the seer, and I am seeing. But then the next step is very interesting, because the next step, he says, now, by a little use of intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or move independently. Now, this is a big step. When we realize and we can see, okay, I have no power to see, to move. Kartaham iti manyate. I think I'm doing so many things, but what am I doing? I have no power. How many of you have ever had an illness where they lost some power to move? I mean, I had a serious illness. It's half paralyzed. Even now, this is, you know, normal movement, and this is the best I can do. I want to do more. You know, I really would like to play the mridanga again, or play the flute. I used to play the flute. I can't do it because I have no power. The power's gone. It never was mine to begin with. It never was mine. The power of sight. The power of hearing. Every sense that we have. We don't own. It's not independent. We have no mastery. It's being supplied. So a little intelligence, we can understand this. Of course, we forget it immediately. And again, come into the ahankara. I am doing everything. Fact is, everything's being carried out. We do have some power, and we'll get to that later. But what we think we're doing, we're not doing, including keeping to the timetable. Anyway, let's see if we can go a little quicker. I can blame it all on, you know, Krishna's, you know, it's just out of my control. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplies to us by nature in various combinations. And Prabhupada then gives a whole list of the senses, the organs, and so on, various arrangements. And then the next step. Okay, so we're not our bodies. We're not independent. We don't have any independent power of to manipulate this world, the senses. It's all being supplied by nature. And then furthermore, what we see, the objects of perception, they're also just combinations of material energy. So this conclusively proves. So here we have the first proof that we have to grab onto. Prabhupada is, the verse says, by intelligence and hypothesis. This is actually, in one sense, this is the jnana yoga, where we're using the process of hearing and understanding and deliberating in order to realize some truth, to begin to perceive, to get, acquire this knowledge. So, he says that this conclusively proves these things. The living being has no independent power. We're conditioned by nature's energy. He who sees is spirit, and the objects are material. Now, why do we conclude, he's next says, why do we conclude that we are spirit? Not just another form of material things. And the reasoning Prabhupada gives is that we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied. He says that the spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of material conditioned existence. So, if we were satisfied, if we were part of this world, we would feel at home. But we're always feeling unsatisfied. So then comes, Prabhupada makes some arguments about how some people make an argument that there is, we are material. But anyway, now we come to the point that the things which are seen by a little use of intelligence cannot be, and this is the one that I'm still little struggling to understand. Prabhupada says, cannot be animate unless we accept someone as the user of or director of the intelligence. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority, and the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. When one fails to take advantage of intelligence, he becomes a deranged man. And so a living being is dependent on intelligence or the direction of a superior being. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some higher authority, is just like a father giving direction to his son. The higher authority who is present and residing within every individual living being is the super self. So we've passed through. We're not our bodies. The senses, the actions that we identify with, are, we have no independent control over. We're spiritual beings, we're not of this world. And in all of our actions, in everything that we do, or everything that we perceive and participate as things that we do, we depend on intelligence. And that intelligence is coming from Krishna. Intelligence is coming from Krishna. Matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. It's His form direction. It's coming from Him within our hearts. Now, at this point, we may consider, on the one hand, we realize all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature. Yet we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving, or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body. And that the superior principle of super self is guiding and supplying us according to our desire. So we said we were going to come back to power. What power do we have? No, we do not have power. Independent power to make the hand move when it doesn't work. We have no independent power to see anything when the eyes don't work. We have no independent power to make the light shine, the sun appear. Nothing. We have no independent power over this material world at all. But we have one power. That is our desire. We have that power. We have the power of desire, of our own intention. The power of intention, that is our power. And according to that intention, that desire, Krishna supplies intelligence, He supplies remembrance. Oh, you wanted to do that. Here's an opportunity. This is how you do it. You'll just, you know, keep your intention focused. Along with intention, we have to pay attention. Intention and attention. If we have some intention, but we lose the attention, we lose the opportunity. So, by taking advantage of the guidance of super self in the form of intelligence, we can either continue to study and to put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or we can choose to remain in the false material identification, fancying ourselves to be the possessors and doers. Here is the power. Prabhupada says, our freedom consists in orienting our desire either towards the ignorant material misconception or the true spiritual conception. We can easily attain to the true spiritual conception by recognizing the super self, Paramatma, to be our friend. To be our friend. This is coming back to this verse today, where Krishna, where Manu is glorifying Krishna as our friend and guide. And by dovetailing our intelligence with the superior intelligence of Paramatma. Now this last statement of Srila Prabhupada gave me a little bit of thought here, because, and this is something that we can all continue to explore, and that is how, as we begin to see things properly, when we begin to wake up, when we begin to look around, and instead of seeing things in terms of, well, it may rain today, and you know, I wanted to go out, and you know, I'm going to get wet or whatever. All in terms of ourself. But when we begin to see everything as Krishna's energy, we begin to see everything as with Krishna there. We see everything as part of Krishna. And we see Krishna within everything. And we hear Krishna. In the intelligence that we get. But we also recognize that that intelligence is coming according to our desires. So we kind of try to step back and say, what am I wanting? What is my desire here? And we need the help of our spiritual masters and scriptures to distinguish sometimes, is this intelligence, this path that I'm pursuing based on what I'm understanding, is it based on a true spiritual desire, or is there some contamination, some material desire involved? And how do I become purified of that? And as we become more and more conscious of Krishna's presence in our hearts, Krishna's constant companionship, His constant presence, He never leaves us. We forget Him all the time. He never forgets us. We're in the same boat together. Of course, He has all power. But He's directing according to our desires. And according to those desires, as our desires become purified, our perceptions of Krishna become more and more direct, then something happens. Something starts to grow, we're told. I have yet to experience it, somewhere behind. But there's a spiritual body. And in that spiritual body, there's also intelligence and mind. And that, when that intelligence starts to come forth and be entirely linked with Krishna's intelligence, the direction of Krishna, then we achieve the perfection of seeing Krishna, perceiving Krishna. So Prabhupada concludes, he gives so many different further arguments, it's worth studying. The intelligent man, therefore, after many births of such use of intelligence, surrenders himself at the lotus feet of Vasudeva. So surrender. He began this purport, Prabhupada began with the question, how can we surrender if we don't see? And then he gives us the knowledge. He gives us the path. He gives us a thought process, how we can go step by step to see Krishna and to surrender to Him. And there's no problem because He's our greatest friend. Hare Krishna.
So Krishna was friendly to Guru Kshetra, so many people saw Him. So what if Krishna comes off the altar and shows us so that we're all really convinced? He said, show me. You know, I mean, why doesn't He just show?
Why doesn't He?
Our
Why not?
Our belief will be so much.
You know, I doubt that you exist. You got to show me. So come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, show me.
Show us this and we will surrender.
You think we're going to surrender if Krishna comes off the altar? He's going to just, we're going to just surrender? I don't know about that. We're still going to doubt. Oh, I must have eaten some crazy mushrooms today. And I'm hallucinating. And, you know, this is, whoa, this is a trip. Woo, wow, that was something. When the heart is not ready, the eyes, whatever the eyes see, cannot change our path. And you gave the good example, you know, of Krishna and Kurukshetra, or Krishna in the arena of Kamsa. That's Prabhupada. So many people were seeing Krishna, but how they saw Krishna.
Well, let's start, although, you know, yes, but what about hearing about, I mean, maybe we have not seen Krishna step off the altar, but how about all the others who we hear about who did see Krishna step off the altar? Maybe we could start by believing them. Yesterday you told me some stories about how Krishna, Avital, how he, you know, stepped off the altar and started eating the offerings, you know. But he did that for someone who already believed fully. He was not, he had no doubt, that person. Or she, actually. Was it a she? No. There was a man and a boy. Both of, they had no doubt. They didn't need Krishna to show himself in this way. They didn't need to have that. If you want to see Krishna step out, go to Radharaman. You can see her. Krishna stepped off. He stepped out of the stone. Boom. But you have to believe. I was hearing the story and my skeptical mind, you know, went through it and said, okay, because the story, as you know, those who know the story, you know how Gopal Bhatta was worshipping his 12 shalagrams. And then how He was had this desire that because someone had given so many cloths and so now it would be so nice to dress Krishna, you know, with all these ornaments and cloth and so on. So nice. And then he woke up the next morning and he opens the basket where he kept his shalagrams and there was Raman. All in this form. Okay, now step in skeptical mind. All right, someone in the night came and they knew, they somehow had heard in the marketplace, you know, Gopal Bhatta's thing is, I'm gonna help out Gopal Bhatta. So I'll go, I know where he keeps his shalagrams. I'll open the basket at night and I'm going to take one of them out and I'm going to put this nice little Krishna there and that'll be, Gopal Bhatta will be very happy. Right? Rational explanation. There's a rational explanation. There's a whole group of people who tell you there's a rational explanation, so-called rational explanation for everything. It was hallucination, it was this, it was that. So the first step for us, we have to be ready to believe, to accept that Krishna does do this. What to speak of, you know, for us, first, let's. What about for others? Krishna has. We can accept that. And not just one or two. Like in this story that you talked about, there was Damodar Dhananjaya, by pointing to him. Our partner is in ISKCON Online. Anyway, he asked me if we should give a plug. ISKCON Online. But his the boy's father, and they also saw. In the Judaic tradition, there's a great honor considered in the Hebrew tradition. Because in according to their histories, God, yes, he appeared to Moses as a burning bush, but that was only Moses. But later, when the tribe of Israel was assembled, thousands together, they all heard, all of them, they all heard God speak. So they said, we all heard. It wasn't just one. You can discount one. Okay, maybe it was such and such. But we all heard. But then you have to believe that they all heard, right? Oh, that's just a story. So we're challenged. Our intelligence, our idea of intelligence, because our desires are to be independent. We don't want to surrender. We want to control. We want to enjoy this world. It's just a few lifetimes separating us from being the, you know, Indra. We can do it. Just, if not, you know, at least some enjoyment we can all have. We're conditioned like this, so we don't want to surrender. So we find some excuse, and Krishna is very willing to give us. Because he knows that it has to come from our hearts. It has to come from the heart. Therefore, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada describes, in the beginning, he says, actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses, but when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy. And such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.